Just arrived into Budapest, and if any of you have had any difficulty logging onto the site, our apologies. Circumstances beyond our control. Seems that someone hacked into and hacked up the site for some reason, probably known only to him or her. So the site wasn't working for some time, but now it's repaired and everything seems to be okay. It was a shame to be leaving New Rajadam. In fact, I didn't get to do the things that I wanted to do there, particularly with the deities. Yesterday we had a strategy meeting between Goshakti, Prithvipati, and Prithvipati and Vijayagaranga about restructuring or realigning the configuration of the yatra, and that was a very long discussion. It was very interesting. We started at 10, we went till 6, and without lunch. And we'll be working on it further, but I think it'll be able to take the functioning of the Hungarian yatra further forward so that we can actually work together as a more unified unit. And I think it will also help help perpetuate and protect the assets, devotees, and successes of the Hungarian yatra in my absence. I'm talking about my physical absence in the future. And so as a result of that, I didn't get to address the deities yesterday. I was very much looking forward to doing so again today after they'd been painted. But sometime around 11:30 at night, I got up. I had such a bad headache again from this sinus thing. And so I just ended up writing for a few hours. And I didn't really quite make it there in time for addressing the deities. Anyway, enough of that. Now I'm here in Budapest. Tomorrow we're having the Sakatan Festival. This evening we're having a New Year's Festival. And I've got some meetings with some other guests. In fact, I have a meeting happening in 10 minutes. But I wanted to share with you a few of the really beautiful statements of Srila Prabhupada and the verse also from the seventh canto that we read in class this morning. That's a very famous purport. And it's a purport to the following verse of chapter 13, text 34 of the seventh canto, which says, "Those in human society who are intelligent should give up the original cause of lamentation, illusion, fear, anger, attachment, poverty, and incessant labor. The original cause of all of these is the desire for unnecessary prestige and money." And, well, all right, let me read the purport, although it goes for two pages, and I'll just comment as we go along some of the points that really sort of struck me. And here's the first one. Here's the difference between Vedic civilization and the modern demoniac civilization. Srila Prabhupada doesn't say Vedic civilization and modern civilization. He says modern demoniac civilization. And it's something that Srila Prabhupada repeats over and over again, and he's not holding any punches here. He's just like telling us it's demoniac. And Srila Prabhupada on other occasions had also indicated that Vaishnavas should be able to see how demoniac it is in order, number one, to preach properly, and in order to advance in devotional service. If they think that sort of merging into the greater society is an identity for a realized Vaishnava, then they're very wrong, very immature. Animal slaughter, abortion, alcoholism, prostitution, the lack of values or the values upon which a modern consumer, materialistic, atheistic society is based on is demoniac, because it leads nowhere. Let's see what Prabhupada continues. Vedic civilization concerned itself with how to achieve self-realization, and for this purpose, one was recommended to have a small income to maintain body and soul together. So that's the purpose of society. Modern society is demoniac. Why? Because not only all the demoniac things that it does, but it does all those demoniac things because its purpose is not self-realization, but its purpose is sense gratification. Self-realization means sense control and restraint, and sense gratification means, if there's any sense of self-control, then it's only for some higher purpose of sense gratification. And how is it that a society for self-realization is organized? Then Srila Prabhupada continues. The society was divided into Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and the members of this society would limit their endeavors to meeting their minimum demands. You need meet the minimum demands of life. The Brahmins in particular would have no material desires because the Kshatriyas had to rule the people. It was necessary for them to have money and prestige. But the Vaishyas were satisfied with agricultural produce and milk from the cows, and if by chance there were excess, trade was allowed. The Shudras were also happy, for they would get food and shelter from the three higher classes. In the demoniac civilization of the present day, however, there's no question of Brahmins or Kshatriyas. There are only so-called workers and a flourishing mercantile class who have no goal in life. According to Vedic civilization, and the Srila Prabhupada here is talking about, this is what self-realization means. You want a society where people can be self-realized, you have to divide yourself according to Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Brahmins, Shudras, and everyone has to accept according to what is allotted to them. Kshatriyas may have more, but that's also within their limits. Brahmins have the necessities, bare necessities of life. Shudras are cared for, and Vaishyas, they live in a legal, honest way, not exploiting each other and exploiting everyone else, but basically from agriculture and cow protection. According to Vedic civilization, Prabhupada says, the ultimate perfection of life is to take sannyas. But at the present moment, people do not know why sannyas is accepted. Because of misunderstanding, they think that one accepts sannyas to accept social responsibilities. I say more sense gratification. Prabhupada continues. But one does not accept sannyas to escape from responsibilities to society. Generally, one accepts sannyas at the fourth stage of spiritual life. One begins as a brahmachari, then becomes a grihastha, a vanaprastha, and finally a sannyasi to take advantage of the duration of one's life by engaging oneself fully in self-realization. Sannyas does not mean begging from door to door to accumulate money for sense gratification. However, because in Kali Yuga people are more or less prone to sense gratification, immature sannyas is not recommended. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in his Nectar of Instruction, Atyahara Prayacha Shtashloka is thereby given, as well as the translations. And then Srila Prabhupada says, a sannyasi should have an institution meant to preach Krishna consciousness. He did not accumulate money for himself. Very interesting, because sometimes, and that is a tendency in our modern days, that sannyasis, they may call themselves part of ISKCON, but very often they're actually acting and living separate from ISKCON. They live as a separate institution. They separate themselves off, well, I'm not part of an institution. Srila Prabhupada here says, but yes, a sannyasi should be part of a spiritual institution. He should not directly collect money for himself. Why? Because then he'll simply be seen as some kind of beggar, or even worse than that, he'll simply be begging for sense gratification. But rather, he should give money that he collects, which sannyasis naturally collect, to the institution to whom he's a part of, and that institution should maintain him. And now, what do you do with money? Prabhupada says, we recommend that as soon as money accumulates in our Krishna consciousness movement, 50% of it should be invested in printing books, and 50% for expenditures, especially establishing centers all over the world. Very clear formula. 50% for books, 50% for temples and similar projects. That's what you do with money. That's what sannyasis are meant to do with money. That's what everyone is meant to do with money. The managers of the Krishna consciousness movement should be extremely cautious in regard to this point. Prabhupada is making a strong point. Otherwise, if you don't do this 50-50% formula, what will happen? Money will be the cause of lamentation, illusion, fear, anger, material attachment, material poverty, and unnecessary hard work. So interesting that you think that when I'm collecting more and more money, that Prabhupada says you may be collecting money right now, but ultimately the result will be material poverty, unnecessary hard work, material attachment, fear, anger, and so on. Prabhupada concludes, when I was alone in Vrindavan, I never attempted to construct mats or temples. Rather, I was fully satisfied with the small amount of money I could sell by gather by selling back to Godhead, and thus I would provide for myself and also print the literature. When I went to foreign countries, I lived according to the same principle, but when Europeans and Americans began to give money profusely, I started temples and deity worship. The same principle should still be followed. Whatever is money should be is collected should be spent for Krishna and not a farthing for sense gratification. This is the Bhagavad principle. So it's a topic I discussed earlier. Money should not be spent for sense gratification. It has to be spent for Krishna. However, you could also interpret that if this formula of 50-50% isn't followed, then collecting money only for the maintenance of a temple, that is also sense gratification, because one is then simply maintaining devotees and not preaching according to the guidelines Srila Prabhupada set up. Preaching means printing books, distributing books. So 50%, it's the prime duty of the leaders of the Krishna Consciousness Society, and obviously it's also the duty of all of the other members. Even if one is not part of some book distribution party, some temple or so on, but one can always use one's own personal income to help spread Krishna consciousness, and give some for temples and give some for printing books. Otherwise, even if you have a lot of money, it will be the source of poverty, hard work, pain, anger, frustration, and so on. Hare Krishna.